Good morning and welcome to Go Live Sunday. Today we have Dave Kingswood speaking to us.
Chris will be leading worship and we have a quick hello from friends in Nepal.
We're excited to be together as church family, even if we can't be together physically.
Let's go for it this morning, expecting to meet God and to hear from Him.
Good morning. Today, Dave Kingswood kicks off a new summer series called Encountering God, where we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about these encounters and then sharing a couple of testimonies each week. We've managed to get our elders to agree to do the lion's share this time around. The goal, as always, is to take God's word and ask the kind of big questions. One of those big questions, which could sound rude, but it's not when it's asked the right way, is so what? The Bible says this, so what do we learn about God? So what do we learn about ourselves? So what could we do tomorrow that we might not have done without hearing that truth today? Before we do that, we're going to do something that connects us both with God and with one another. We're going to spend some time worshipping. Here's an encouragement from Psalm 145, verses 3 to 7. It says this, great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Going to ask you just for a moment, think about one thing that you love about God. Just think about that for a moment. Okay, now I'm going to ask you to think about one barrier to worshipping God. One barrier. And just be honest, you don't have to say it out loud, just think about it for a moment. Let's pray together. Lord, you are worthy of our worship. You are kind, you're powerful. Your goodness, your faithfulness. We pray now that every barrier to our worship of you will be loved out of the way. As we love you because you first loved us, we come towards you. We choose to look to you. We choose to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before Dave speaks, we're going to jump to another part of the world, over to Nepal, where a family that we love very much are going to give us an update. This is James and Sandra and family.
Hello, Welton!
And welcome from Nepal, where the monsoon is in full swing, and so it's raining most days, which means that we've got plenty of flooding going on. There's landslides. Actually, more people have died in the last little while from landslides than have from coronavirus. Lockdown has finished officially, but the numbers are still climbing, and so theoretically we can get out, except that actually we can't, because the roads have flooded and are being dug up, and so around our house it's just mud everywhere. We can't actually leave the house.
Well, so it's a good job that we have online school, though it's not really the joy of everyone. But we appreciate your prayers also for that, also for technicalities that brings. And and the hope that school will open eventually. Please pray also for David as he finished school in March or April now, and hopes to go to Europe for his further education in the next 2-3 weeks, once the airport opens mid-August, we hope.
Yeah.
We don't know yet what is happening. News is very confusing. We are glad that we can trust in God as our rock and foundation, but also Psalm 91 reminds us again and again that if we stay close under His protection, under the umbrella, close to Him and close to each other, then we are safe. God bless you all. and hope to see you at some point. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So good. Today we're going to be starting a little series on the run-up to Enfest about encountering God and what happens when we meet the divine in our day-to-day lives. So to start, I want to tell you a story from the book of John in chapter 3. It says this: Now there was a Pharisee, a religious leader, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, and whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict, therefore. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now this is one of the most profound interactions, I think, between God and man in the Bible. Jesus, the Son of God, sits down with apparently one of his key representatives, a religious leader named Nicodemus. Nicodemus is meant to be essentially like an encapsulation of God himself, a leader and a marker amongst other men to show the face of God to the world. And Jesus tells him that the kingdom of God cannot be seen until you're born again. And this apparent master of the scriptures has no idea what Jesus is talking about. You know, I try to talk to a lot of people about God, and there is always something that keeps coming up. I wonder how many people you meet maybe think these things, or you think they're thinking these things. Firstly, that God should be like this, or they should be like that. Secondly, that they decide how much God demands from them and not the other way around. Thirdly, that their ethics or their way of life is pleasing to God, yet they've never read his word or know what he's asking of them. And on the flip side of that, I think it's easy when you're a Christian to feel educated or aloof when you do know the answers to these questions. But Nicodemus proves that if we approach God thinking we know what all this is about, we have no idea who we're dealing with, really. All of these postures are the opposite of knowing God in a moment. Rabbi, we know, Nicodemus starts, and gently Jesus unravels all he knows. Why do I mention this? You know, I think we need a fresh perspective on our understanding of how God is going to encounter anyone. I've never met anyone who had an encounter with God for the first time and came away in the same way that they went in. Either their world is turned upside down, or all they thought they knew gets thrown firmly out of the window. You know, you'll never meet someone who encounters Jesus in an authentic way and just says, well, that was just as I thought. No, you know, to encounter a holy God, I think, will leave you affected forever. You see, here's where we need to trust our friends, family, and people that we share the gospel with. You know, these people are not other types of human beings. They have exactly the same hum in their heart, and that is the hum of the heart that needs to be connected to a saviour. It's just that some of them have not had those individual encounters yet. You know, when we share our stories or encounters, saying what it's like to see Jesus afresh, that's fantastic, but we have to stop prescribing what it will be like to other people, I think. All we can do is point to him through our own encounters, and then we have to trust God that he is going to encounter that person in the timing and the way that he wants. You know, in that quiet room, Jesus gave the sucker punch of the whole gospel, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, this sentence was revealed first to the person who, if we'd seen him in the street, should have had the best grasp of God, and yet this was a revelation to him. This verse turned Nicodemus' world upside down. Isn't it one of the most just beautiful paradoxes that God takes us and shows us not only the full extent of what we don't know, but he also brings beauty and meaning crashing into our lives as well. God is a disruption which brings the only thing worth having, truth, that we cannot have come up with ourselves, truth eternal, essentially. You know, when Jesus left, when Nicodemus left Jesus in John 7, it says that we see Nicodemus defending Jesus and testifying to his truth. And then at the cross in John 19, we see that Nicodemus was there again. You know, that one meeting changed everything for Nicodemus. Now, there's just one more thing I want to encourage you with. Maybe this will help a little bit. I think any time we meet with God, we are always given a sense or an encouragement behind that encounter as well. And that's an invitation to go deeper. It's an invitation to explore and treasure hunt and to yearn for the next encounter. You know, God will reveal part of himself, and we're left, I think, often with a sense of longing to know more. And so our testimony or encounter becomes like a primer to grow and have more encounters. And in those encounters, then you realize that you're in relationship. You know, when we encounter Jesus, I think our reflex then is to tell our story. And I think we have to tell it often. And we have to tell our story well. And we have to tell it to as many people as we can, because these stories are a glimpse of the divine through us, which lights up something primal in everyone. I wonder what that could mean for you. For a little while now, I've been thinking that maybe you don't know all the elder stories about how we encountered Jesus for the first time. Well, we're going to tell you a couple every week for a while. Here's mine coming up, and then we're going to hear from Pete Skinner. But maybe as you hear these, you can be praying for those who you know need to see Jesus for the first time. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear more stories of how God met people just where they are? So that's my prayer for you today. Enjoy these next couple of bits.
Hi again, everyone. I just want to tell you my story about how I encountered God for the first time. I grew up in a really small Methodist church on the border of kind of Surrey and South London. And I was there right from the get-go. My mum and dad took me from a very, very young age. And, you know, over the years I heard Bible stories, I heard preachers, I was engaged in church at a whole bunch of different levels. But in those early years, I never really thought it was more than just a social club, really, of kind of shared values or shared connections. And so there was some element of it that just wasn't real to me. Fast forward a little bit until I was about 13, and I joined the youth group at the church. It was kind of a natural place that you went when you were growing up there. And every year we went up into London and we went to something called the MAYC weekend, and it was a Methodist Association of Youth Clubs. It actually is more fun than it sounds, and we had a lot of fun over the years going up to these things. But there was something being distilled in me, and it was a question. I didn't know it at the time, I was still really young, but I needed to know about the reality of God, whether this thing that these people were really, you know, that were talking about, whether it was real or not. And so I remember being sat one day, and the guy was giving the gospel in the Royal Albert Hall of all places. And there was all these kids all sat around and we were all listening. And you know, to this day, I cannot tell you what that guy was talking about. But I do remember hearing a question, and that was, do you want God to be involved in your life? Now, me being a bit cheeky, I was 15 at this stage. I I didn't want to phrase it quite like this man had. And so I closed my eyes and I said, God, if you're real, you're going to have to show me. Now, even as I say that to you now, I'm filled with emotion. It almost makes my hair stand on end because the reality of what happened in that encounter, in that moment, profoundly affected me and still affects me. Because God very, very clearly spoke to me and said, you're my son and I love you. It was so real that I actually opened my eyes and looked around because I thought someone was actually saying it, but everyone else was quiet and they just had their eyes closed. So for me, in that moment, I encountered the risen Saviour. I encountered Jesus. It wasn't just a bunch of stories in the Bible. And you know what? Ever since then, I'm 44 now. God has been faithful and I have had increasing encounters with him as I've kind of journeyed through this life. And he has used me in the most profound ways. And I do not say that to boast about myself, but I say it to boast about him. Because he has used me to take in vulnerable kids. He has given me a gift to teach. He's used me for youth stuff. You know, he's used me for all kinds of things. And what's incredible is I can go back to what I call that base note, that first encounter with Jesus, where he said, you're my son and I love you. Everything about my identity, everything about where I was headed, everything about what I care about, everything about what I want to impart to other people, everything about adoption, everything was just held inside that moment. And that was incredible for me. So I just want to say, if you don't know Jesus, encounter him. Pray a prayer, whether it's cheeky like mine or not, pray that prayer, encounter him for the first time because he's there and he is longing to connect with you.
Hi, I'm Pete. And this is a bit of my story about how I met Jesus and the difference he has made in my life. I was brought up in a church-going Christian home and with my parents attended a lively Anglican church that taught the truth of the Bible well and provided good activities for children. At that time, my understanding of what God wanted was probably limited to me trying to be just a good boy. When I was 11, I remember attending a midweek group where a visiting speaker explained the significance of Jesus dying on the cross. That evening, I realized that trying to be good wasn't enough. I needed a saviour. And if I was sorry for the wrong things in my life, I'd be forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. I made a decision to turn away from the wrong things and ask Jesus to come into my life. I can honestly say that that decision, made while still a child, has had and still has more impact on my life than any other. Since then, as I have learned more about life, the world, science and people, I've discovered nothing that causes me to doubt these vital truths. That God is real and he loves all mankind. That the life, death and resurrection of Jesus is central to all history, and that my daily experience of a relationship with Jesus is real. If you don't yet follow Jesus, please listen out for what he wants to say to you, because he loves you and wants you to turn to him. Although in no way do I have all the answers, and still there are many things I don't understand, what I can say is this. The choice I made at 11 set me on a new journey with Jesus in a very real way, and he has transformed my life. How? Well, the Lord has guided my path through life in my teen years at school, at college and university, and in my choice of a career. I first went to Welton Baptist Church 40 years ago when I started to work on a landscaping project at the Cheshire Home in Timsbury. Both these local links led on to other big life choices. For example, working in further education, getting married, having a family, and also becoming involved in some Kenyan charity work. The last 6 years, doing property development, was also a change God led me into. I'm so grateful to God for his guidance through these major aspects of my life. There have been some significant difficulties and challenges along the way, and there are some even now, but God helps me through. I finish with this. My story isn't just about looking back and remembering a childhood choice. My walk with Jesus has deepened since then and is a daily reality right now. Each day I'm presented with choices to listen to God and go his way, or ignore him and go my own way. I'm amazed at God's goodness to me and his patience when I get things wrong. But by committing my ways to him daily, I know more of his peace and guidance and power. In practical terms, this means I try to spend time listening to God and bring things to him in prayer, particularly if I want to know what I should be doing. It means serving him and the people around me. It means developing and using the gifts and resources he has given me for the benefit of others. All this is important stuff to me, and so I'm probably coming over as quite serious. I must add here, in my experience, life with Jesus and his people is enriching and challenging, yes, but also at times exciting and even fun. So I'd say, choose Jesus. I wouldn't choose any other way.
Wherever you're at with God and faith, I pray this week you will have your own encounter with Jesus, who loves you more than you'll ever get your head around. He is for you. He has a purpose for you, and I pray you encounter him in a special way. Thanks for being here. God bless.